I'll build the altar, Lord, and the flame. I'll be the sacrifice unto your name. Come, holy fire, consume me now. That's been our prayer. Lord, in your presence, I make this vow. Nothing but you, Lord, do I desire. Your glory only, and one desire. Wonderful. Thanks, Dave. And I believe God is holding back. Until, like that thing David wrote this morning, Lord, I can't live another day without the fire of God. You need the fire of God to pray. You need the fire of God to see visions. You need the fire of God to recognize there's no help for us. I don't want to cry as I've done so long. Like David in Psalm 80, O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, Lord, don't stay there. Come down here. We need God here. Does it matter if it breaks your heart today? You're going to have millenniums in eternity. There'll be no sorrow there. You can't patch up your prayer life when you get to the judgment seat. You can't sacrifice when you get to the judgment seat. You can't weep when you get to the judgment seat. It's all between here and there. This period we're in now is a dressing room for eternity. That's all it is.
You see, when these songs were written, people were desperate for a move of God because society had come so bad and so far from God. People were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They were people who were far away from God. And a move of God had been a distant thing of the past. Churches had begun to talk about what God used to do. Churches had begun to talk about how God used to save back in the old days. And there was a generation that raised up and said, let me tell you something. If he's still God, he could still do it. They said there's nothing wrong with God. He still desires to pour his spirit upon hungry people. The problem is we're not hungry anymore. And a generation rose up, Steve, and said, I'm hungry for something from God. And it doesn't have to come through my church denomination in order for me to accept it. It doesn't necessarily have to come the way I want it to come. I just want it to come. Oh God, a burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host, and send the promise, Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire. Elijah, hear our cry, send a fire, and make us fit to live or die. Send a fire today, to burn up every trace of sin.
Bye.
Oh God, hear our plea tonight, Jesus. God, these young people standing on this stage, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord, to make this verse apply to them, Lord. To make our weak hearts strong and brave, set the fire to live a dying world to save. Lord, set the fire.
Singing a hymn together. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return with constant prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire. He done a new baptism of fire. And if you don't keep fire going, it goes out. He says, still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy glorious will, thine acts of faith and love repeat, till death thine endless mercy seal, and make the sacrifice complete. Then he says this awesome thing, enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. So shall I all my strength exert, and love them with a zeal like thine, and turn them into a pardoning God. You see, he's not asking for a theological definition. He says, I want a fire. Listen, if our God is a consuming fire, and he is, if he takes up residence in you, you'll burn till you die. God won't die in you. And all he's asking you this morning is to let the walls down, let the fire in. Isn't that awesome? That a man with such a colossal intellect and background, he said day by day, enlarge and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. I can't live in coldness anymore. I can't live in blindness anymore. I can't be indifferent to a dying world. Every preacher who has lost the fire, you should be on your face down here. You used to burn, but you got so busy with organizing. The fire has gone out. Come on. I believe God's going to breathe on us this morning. I believe you're going from this place. I believe you're going to have to say, I'm in the valley of decision.
Take me past the outer courts. Through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. So take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. my lips, here I am. Take me past the outer courts, through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. So take me there, Lord. Take us there, Jesus. Take us there, oh Lord. The outer courts and to the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests that sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place to be.
when God stepped out, suddenly men and women all over the parish were gripped by the fear of God. Who shall ascend the hill of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord.
Some of the great soul winners who've ever lived have prayed, "Give me souls or I die." What does it mean? It means you don't want to live unless you can see people saved. Lord, move on your church. Break our hearts with the things that break your heart. Shatter our indifference. Strip away our complacency. Lord, we receive your burden for a dying world. We receive your burden, O God, for this generation of young people.
Give us America, Father. Give us our schools. Give us our schools where we got.
What it's going to take, friends, people in agony, people whose hearts are bursting. I've never read a book about childbirth called How Much Fun It Is to Have a Baby. Jesus, there's pain, there's travail, but that's what it takes to produce life. That's what it takes to produce life. It's all right, just let the Holy Spirit move. Just let the Holy Spirit move. Jesus, souls, Jesus, revive, oh, whatever it takes, oh God, birth it in this generation, birth it in this generation. Oh, God hears the cries. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. The Lord Jesus himself in Hebrews 5:7 prayed with loud crying and tears. Oh, if you can. Thank you.
call them in, my God. From the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Come, my beloved. Come, my beloved.
Means to see God working. the God of miracles, sovereign, supernatural, moving in the midst of men and hundreds swept into the kingdom. Oh, that we might see it, that we might see it.
Presence.
In a manger, a baby was born. Among kings and peasants, all of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down through the age. And now you call us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Oh, then gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Yes, we'll make it through the end. We can just see your face.
The moment that that happened in the barn, a power was let loose in Barbas that shook the whole village. God stepped down. The Holy Spirit began to move among the people. God seemed to be everywhere. What was that? Revival? Revival? Not an evangelist? Not a special effort? Not anything at all organized on the basis of human endeavor, but an awareness of God that gripped the whole community.
And as part of his research, he went to the Hebrides to actually research the history of the Hebridean revival. And he finished up, amazingly, he booked in at a guest house, which was run by an elderly couple. And the guy who was the father of the house was actually one of the fathers of the revival. And so he found himself, without trying, sitting right at the feet of someone who could tell him a lot of information. This guy said to him, you know, with tears in his eyes, he said, there's six of us who were like the fathers of the revival who are still alive. He said, we meet together occasionally when our wives are in bed. He said, we sit there and we talk about those days, and he said, we can't stop crying. And he said this. He said, the reason that the Hebridean revival failed because the leadership didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to structure. They didn't know how to prepare a wineskin for what God was doing. And it faltered, and it failed. And this old man got hold of my friend, who's probably about 30 years of age, grabbed him by the collar, looked at him in his eyes, his piercing eyes looking at him, and he said, son, when you get it, whatever you do, don't let go of it.
a field and begin to talk about this strange consciousness of God that had gripped the community. Oh, he knew the secrets. Oh, my dear people, listen, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him.
Outpouring of the Spirit that's happened in his church has been nothing other than his personal walk with God.
I found myself praying, Lord, if you are not going to bring another revival, take me home. I don't want to live anymore. And then I tried to rebuke my soul because I have 3 little kids, I have my wife, and the ministry was not doing so bad. Why should I pray this way? And then again, the next day, I found myself praying the same thing. And I realized the Holy Spirit was putting a burden in my heart to see revival. John Knox used to say, Lord, give me Scotland or I'll die. And I pray that impartation from the Holy Spirit will come to this room right now, that you will desire revival more than your own life. That you would desire to see this nation, entire nation, shaken under the power of God. More than to be alive, you will desire that.
An awakening cry for a land in darkest night. And it calls you now to shed your mask and move into the light. Let your heart search for him and see for what he is right. For where darkness reigned, now the dawn will break as you move into the light. Rise, rise.
before revival broke out, friend, in this church. There was times I came down to this church and I would lay on the front row. Something deep inside of me was calling out to the deep of God. And I said, Lord, there's gotta be more. I would walk these floors and I would cry out loud. I knew nobody was around. I knew nobody could hear. And I lift my voice sometime till I would be hoarse and I'd say, God, there's more. There's got to be more. God, I'm dying inside. And I'd lay there sometime and I'd still quiet in a fetal position on that front row. And then I would hear the Lord say, keep going after me, son. You'll find me.
This thing we're crying out for is not fun and games. If you, you know, I want to tell you, it's going to be more demanding with us than anything we have ever, ever seen. Let's get ready. Let's be the kind of leaders who don't find the thing overtakes us, but we have a godly stance. We're prepared, we're ready. But when the bridegroom comes in that way, we're not then going out to look for the oil. We've got it.